Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, and it is 6 p.m. And I have scheduled for a while to air on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And as I build up an audience and people are interested, we can discuss what would be a time that people would like to see me come on the air. And perhaps we can work out a weekend time or something else. But so my name is Mitzi, and I have begun the show called Healing Hearts His Way. And God spoke to me a while back and put it in my heart that so many people are walking around with a broken heart, and he talked to me about how he feels about that. And I wanted to share that because I don't know if many people do think about God thinking about their broken heart. So I'd like to open up the show tonight in prayer and ask God to be with us and to be over all the words that are spoken. So I, Father, I come before you tonight, and I just thank you, Jesus, for your pleasantness, for your happiness and joy, for the fact that you love us so much that you laid your life down for us. I thank you for all these things, and I ask that you just be upon my words for the people that listen, and that you will anoint them with what they need to feel, what they need to hear, in any way that you can mend their broken heart, God, that you would take this opportunity and just work through the words that will be spoken here, and I ask for your guidance upon them. So I thank you, Jesus. Amen. So obviously, I know that it's not me who has the answers, but through the long course of a lot of mistakes in my own life, I have discovered that there is a way to find the answers to life, and that is through the Bible. God really did give us an instruction book, and it seems complicated. When you open up the Bible, it's like, what is this book, and why can't it read like a typical book of front to back and just tell me a beginning and a middle and an end? And it took me a very long time in life to understand that it really does do that. It's just, it was written a long time ago, and it was written with a different type of culture than we have today. So we tend to look at the Bible, we're reading from one culture to another. So it becomes like a puzzle. And so God will open our eyes and help us to see in the Bible that he has addressed all of our needs. And I can give you a very simple answer, which is the truth, is when you come to Jesus, he has the answer for all of the problems that we face in life. But, you know, that's not enough. All of us have, wow, we have so many experiences. And when God created us as human beings, he designed us to just live on this planet and enjoy life. And he knew that we were going to have experiences, and that no two of us were going to be the same, because he knew us before we were formed, even in our mother's womb. So he created each of us, and through our journeys in life, and every single one of us, whether you know it or not, are on a path. And each of us on this path encounter different types of things. But one thing I think most people have in common, I've met a few people, very few people, who literally say they haven't had any hard times in life. They have been very blessed, and everything has gone in a very good way for them. And I just think that's amazing, because that is not the majority. Most of us have just been through the mill. We have been through all sorts of things, and especially the older you are. I'm in my 50s, so I've experienced a lot of things, because I tried to squeeze in a couple of lifetimes into one lifetime. And God let me. He let me just go for it and just run and try everything. And he allowed me the opportunity to rebel against his word, his story here in the Bible, and I took full advantage of that. Well, most of us do because, you know, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden started the whole domino effect of a fallen nature in mankind of we weren't, after Eve ate the apple, then we weren't able to live out our life the way God intended because they had the understanding of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, as we all know the story, I think everybody knows this story, that Satan just jumped right in the garden and deceived Eve and tempted them, and they fell for it, just like each of us do over and over in life, and it changes everything. So we became human beings with a fallen nature, and we can't see clearly through our path in life on our journey. And it's like we're walking around in a fog. I don't know if any of you have ever felt that way, but I felt like I was walking in a fog, and sometimes I would even blink my eyes and try to see clear. I always felt like there was something better ahead for me. I could see a bright light shining at the end of the path, as they say, at the end of the tunnel, but I was always surrounded in darkness, and I couldn't understand how to find my way out of the darkness. And so I just kept going off of the path that really God wanted me to have in life, the path that would be His perfect will for me, that would keep me out of harm and to show me what I was created for. And so when I got off that path and I went down even a darker course, it created pain in my body. It created pain in my heart, pain in my soul. We're many layers. Our souls have so many layers to them. And people, a lot of times therapists even like to describe it as, well, you're a person we'd liken you to like an onion. We're peeling back layers. When we take back this layer of pain, then there's another layer. And it's just like you just keep going. And as you get older, especially, you've hidden some of those wounds deep down inside of you. And it takes a long time to even find out what is driving you. You know, what is pushing you to work those super long hours? What is pushing you to say yes to everyone, to try to be a people pleaser? What is causing you to medicate yourself at night and come home and drink until you pass out? What is causing me to take these drugs? What is causing me to work as a dancer in a club and be around people that really don't treat me the way I would prefer to be treated? You know, so people end up going down all these little paths, and even though we might get back on the one path that Jesus laid out for our lives, when we get back on it, then we have hurt and we have pain in our hearts, and we have sometimes illnesses in our body. And then what do? So we figure out, well, we want to be on a better path and we want to please God, and we don't want to be rebellious quite to the same degree. We're going to tone it back because, wow, that hurts. And we pay for those. We pay for those decisions that we make. They have consequences. Sometimes they have major consequences that are life-altering. And, of course, many of you already know that. So when we get back on the right path and we have those hurts in our heart, you know, we have to ask ourselves, how do they go away? I mean, that's like a number one driving force is, how can I make this pain go away? We wonder because, you know, we lay in bed at night and we pray to God and we talk to Him, and And we've even confessed our sin. We've gone to that point, and we say, God tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To confess our sins means to say, and to confess literally means to say the same thing as another. So when you confess your sins, you're saying the same things about your sin that God says. Confession is a matter of coming back to your senses. You're leaving your warped perspective behind and seeing things from God's perspective, which of course is the only true perspective. You stop with your willful blindness, with your self-justification, and then you finally say, a lot of times when you're totally at the bottom of the barrel, we finally say, God, you know, you're right. I'm going to acknowledge that I have sinned in my life. I went against you and what you asked, and now here I am. And I can't sleep at night because my conscience is bothering me. And I'm unhappy, and I hate my life. And then you have to say to God, I'm going to lay my life in your hands, and I'm going to turn it over to you. And so we watch Jesus do a work in our life. Now, so why would Jesus take the time to does he take the time to go to each person individually into their lives, into their hearts, and look at what's going on and heal those things one by one? And I will tell you, he absolutely does. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. He knows how many hairs are on each of our heads. He says he knows when a sparrow falls from a tree. So even though it seems like sometimes that he's really far away, he's also always right beside us. And he's watching everything that we go through. And he's a part of it, even if we haven't invited him to be. He's a part of it because he's right beside us, because he loves us, and he loved us before we even knew about him or that he existed. So when Jesus comes into our lives, usually it's because we've finally invited him into our life. In Psalms 116, says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And when the psalm was written, and I think King David may have written this one, it was because the Lord heard his cry and his pleas for mercy. Jesus, when we cry out to him, he turns his ear to us, and he listens to the words that are coming out of our mouth. And he's so excited, and he's so ready to be there. He says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In Psalms 34:17-18. So Jesus himself is close to us, so close to us that he's right there. As soon as we begin to say anything to him, he's already right there waiting. And so, you know, I can go through and I can share these scriptures and I can say what's written here. But I would like for you to take the opportunity to open up your Bible. And it's so easy these days. When I began reading the Bible a long time ago, it was difficult because we didn't have the computers like we have today. And we didn't have Google search. And we basically only have one concordance, Strong's Concordance, to use. So it was difficult to understand in detail what the Bible was saying. But today, it's so easy. You can go to Google and you can type in, does God heal a broken heart? And there's so many people. I was so surprised because I did that. And there are so many people who care about you. Tons of people that care. They're writing all kinds of articles. People are beginning to talk about these things more openly. We live in a world that looks sad and fearful from the outside. But in reality, it has so much beauty in it. And when you look at it with God, excuse me, when you look at the world with God and through the eyes of God, then everything is beautiful and wonderful. And there's so much beauty to behold. I'm so sorry for that. My doggy was trapped outside the door and he was crying, so I had to let him in. But so there's so much beauty, and Jesus wants you to experience everything that he meant for life to be. He wants you to experience the beauty that is in the world, and he sees beauty in you. He sees amazing, awesome things inside of you, and he wants to come into your life. We're told that we have joy when we're in his presence. And that's absolutely true. When I understood about God, when I was 18 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. I was baptized. And I loved him very much. I had an encounter with him. I was going through a lot of hard personal things. I had already gone through childhood sexual abuse. I had left home at age 15. I was married. I had a baby very young. I went through homelessness. I went through drugs, alcohol. And it just, you know, propelled me to long for an answer. And I reached out to God, and he answered me, and he showed me him, and I began to read his word in the Bible. And Jesus, he helped me with all my problems. Each problem, it was like I made a checklist, and it didn't happen overnight, but it began to happen. It was like I could scratch one off. I now have a home to live in. I now have work that pays me money to buy food that I need. It was just building, and it was a wonderful, beautiful momentum. And then as life went on, let's say probably about 15 years, I served the Lord as faithfully as I knew how, but it wasn't on a very deep level, and I never could understand why I wasn't going deeper and why it was like I didn't have a very good relationship with God and why I found myself falling behind in what I thought a Christian should be with, you know, keeping rules and obeying the Lord and the things that were in the Bible, the Ten Commandments sort of thing. And I began to feel more and more like a failure to God. So I did what probably a lot of people do. I walked away from him. I just walked away from God, and I said, I'm not going to do this anymore because I can't live up to God's expectations. It's impossible for me to do this. And instead of going to him and asking him for help, I believed the lie of the enemy that it was just impossible to go on that course because I just couldn't see any direction. And as I stepped off of that path, I went down. I took a road that was really dark. And anything I did in those first few years of life, I did 10 times in those next 10 years of my life. So I just went down that road, and as I went down, it was so dark, I could never find my way back. And it just got darker and darker. And something that I noticed while I was on that road was that my heart was just broken. And I didn't really understand why it was broken. I had already acknowledged all the things that I had gone through in life. So it wasn't like I just buried them. I always was aware of the things that I went through, and I felt like I had thought about them and dealt with it. And I said, I forgive all the people who did those things. But when I would go to sleep at night, no matter how much alcohol I drank or if I did drugs, I couldn't sleep because I didn't have any peace inside of me. And I discovered my heart was pretty much shattered. It wasn't just broken, it was shattered. And it was like each piece of my heart had been scattered also to a different place. And I didn't know how to put myself back together again. And so when I look up the word shattered, what does shattered mean? It means that you're fragmented, that you're broken, that you're disintegrated, splintered, cracked, you're damaged, perhaps even destroyed. So shattered is a violent word, to cause, to break or burst suddenly into pieces. It happens with a violent blow. And I know each of us have gone through our own violent blows in this life. Some have had some very violent blows. And I know that Jesus wants to heal your heart and heal you from those pains because he did it for me. He did it for me on such a large scale that I am taking time out of my day to sit here and talk about this because I'm on fire for him now, and I am an advocate for Jesus and what he will do for somebody. How he picked me up off of a dark, dark road, and he is setting me on a mountaintop, and I am just the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. And do I have problems? Absolutely. I'm still a human being. I'm going to have problems. But I can come to him and I can say, help me. I have this problem and I need help. And again, he doesn't answer overnight. Although I will tell you, sometimes he does answer you overnight and sometimes he does answer you instantly. But God's not somebody who can be accessed with a formula. He is somebody who wants a relationship. So even though most of us have an idea of God as a judge sitting on a throne, we don't have a vision of him as being a father. And we certainly don't have a vision of him being a loving father. So many people have had a bad example as a father in this life, and they transfer that over onto their image of God. And of course, the enemy loves that because he wants to keep you away from God. But God is nothing like people can be. He sings over you at night when you're sleeping, Scripture tells us. He dances because of you. He loves you so much. And he wants to heal your broken heart and bind up your wound. When in the Old Testament is before Jesus came to earth, and it tells a story of creation. And in the Old Testament, God says to us in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. And sorry, my Bible just slipped shut. In the beginning, but that doesn't mean that was the very first day of God and everything. It's just giving us a reference for time of creation. So it could read, in the beginning of this story, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So, there's a clue right there. God himself is light. And light is bright, and dark is night. So God called them the light day, and the darkness he called it night. And when we invite Jesus into our hearts, that darkness that's inside of it has to flee out of there, because his light comes in and floods our hearts with all of his goodness and all of his healing powers. And it's just amazing to watch God do this with people. He has certainly done it with me. And so, I have a caller, so I'm so excited. I am going to answer this call. It's 816-787. Hello? Hi, this is Mitzi. Oh, having trouble answering this call.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mitzi.
Hi, Mitzi. This is Teresa. How are you?
Hi, Teresa. I'm great. I'm so excited you called.
Well, if Cindy referred you, then you have a pretty good reference.
Oh, she's so sweet. Yes. Well, thank you. I haven't had a chance to talk to her today. I know her father's having surgery this morning, and I'm just praying and hoping everything went well for her.
I am.
So how are you
today? I had a healing episode with one of my daughters this afternoon. So I'm praying that Jesus, it's awesome. I'm praying that Jesus is having some healing with Cindy and her father as well.
Oh, absolutely, and I totally agree with you on that. And I know he has her in his hand. So, so what happened with your daughter today?
She needs a little help, and I'm not really in the financial status to give it to her right now. But I did. I gave her some gas money till she gets this confirmation on her new job, and I asked her to accept my apology that not moving us back to Colorado when it came out, when the veil was lifted about what was truly going on in my household and staying in Arkansas, and I asked her to forgive me.
Oh. I was in the same position. I have three sons, and they are grown. So I totally have gotten the phone calls like you may have gotten today of they have needs, and we can see the decisions that they made that got them to that point. But I have had to say that I'm sorry to each of my children for different things, and it was interesting for me because when I didn't see that I needed to, but when God showed that to me and I did it, it had such a huge healing effect for our relationship. It took a lot of walls down that were in the way of us having a better relationship and of them being able to have one with God also. So that's awesome.
That is awesome. And I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful that she received it, and we shared some emotion, and I let her know that I cherish the relationship. They're adults. She has a twin sister, and unfortunately, when people have things to hide, they can create question in relationships. I call that the enemy trying to break alliances with one another or relationships.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of that has been done, and a lot of it has to do with her father's position as a computer engineer and the favors he did in Arkansas for a large company. And me waiting for some finalization. It's been 10 years for a final divorce because of finances. It has kept me in a bad situation. And it's, I'll just say that the more position and power they have and the unsavory characters that they associate with, the more obstacles it can create. It got to a point where I was in pain, so much pain that I couldn't go in and work in my career for a period of time. I'm a respiratory care practitioner, and I love my job, and I love my community. And after my experiences there, I had to step away because I got to the point where I didn't have that joy in my heart. And I knew I had to step away from that, and I'm working towards regaining that amongst the obstacles and the questionable illness that the doctors couldn't explain what was going on. And so I've been taking some classes on forgiveness to forgive those and understand where they're at and where their pain must be to inflict that on others. And so in turn, I visited with her today and asked her to forgive me for not packing us up and moving back to Colorado from Arkansas. And for her to know that I'm going forward so that I can have the closure. Some of it I'm afraid to say on the air because it is recorded. But
right,
he's a computer, he's a computer engineer. 15 years telecommunications, wrote a lot of sensitive programs for the phone company that went to other industries, we'll say. And when this unveiling first happened, I could talk about some things. And unfortunately, I was a trailblazer because a lot of people around me weren't ready to hear that. And other people have come forward with technology and some of the pluses, but some of the minuses of it. And and when I found out that he was using our home computer to run pornography, I was so devastated, not just looking at it, but using our home as a server and using me as a shield and who I was in the community and our family to do that was a soul wound. And I told him I would take that money, start an organization to get women out of that profession and let them know they're loved. And I'm talking about it because it's not on Cindy's program where the enemy has tried to attack her and I to where she can't even get a letter from me. And, you know, I'm going to stand in my truth because my truth is my truth. And it is the truth. And there were some things involving.
I would like to.
That's a mighty testimony, isn't it? Right there in itself.
I just felt that so deeply in my spirit when you were talking about your soul wound, but then how you turned it around. You know, God helped you to say, "I'm going to take this money and I'm going to help women with this."
Yeah.
So I would like to just say a prayer for you and see what God, where He takes us from there. Father, God, I thank you so much for this caller, Teresa. I thank you, God, that you have opened this avenue so that so many of us have been hurt in deep, deep ways, deep in our heart. The enemy has just come in and he has tried to just shatter our hearts and destroy us as human beings. And God, we know that you love us so much and you are not going to let that happen. You have made a way that you can turn all bad things into good things. And I ask that you come into Teresa's heart and that you will just, Father, that you will just take out the pain, that you will put the pieces back together, and that you will just flood her heart with your love and your light so that she can move forward at a faster pace, Father, and that you will free her from the this pain that is something that just weighs us down on this life, on this earth, and causes us not to be able to sleep, causes our bodies to be unhealthy, and that we have so many health problems from. And it keeps us from having a relationship. And her whole family was hit very hard, and her children have problems and difficulties now because of this also. And God, I just ask that you bind them all back together, that you bind back Teresa with her children, and that you just pour your love on them, and that you would just enlighten them to understand this from your point of view, so that she can have a great deep healing in her heart, God. And I thank you for her, and I ask, God, if there are any images or words, anything that prophetically you might like for me to share with her, that you would show me that. And Teresa, he showed me you in a pink dress, and he's showing me you like walking up a like a large hill, like a path at a park. And he's showing me that even though the path and the journey is rugged, he sees you as that perfect princess, as that queen, just so untouched. And he is very pleased that you have walked through this with your head up. He's very pleased with that. And I'm just hearing words of encouragement, and that God is just very happy with the way that you've handled all of this. So, that's what I got for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and I thank him for that. I'm ready for this to be over. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for the money for my home. I'm waiting for a sworn financial affidavit, and I'm waiting for a legal representation. And I'm hoping you'll bring that soon.
Absolutely, and God, again, come to your throne with Teresa, and I pray, God, that you will just bind up these wounds that the enemy is inflicting in her heart, and that you will just take away any barriers, God, that are preventing her from having a finalization from this, for this divorce, and this, for the money that's been held back from her, that it be released now, God, on this day, by the authority that Jesus has given me. I pray that this money be released for her, and that all of these soul ties with anything that causes her grief, that they would be broken, so that she can move forward, and that, God, you just interject yourself into the middle of this, and that you lead her, and that you just take her by the hand, and that you take care of her through this process, because it is broken her down, and she's tired and weary. So, God, lift her up. I lift her up to you, and I ask that you just restore her now today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, absolutely, Teresa. And I will keep you, I'm going to start a prayer list, and I will put you on there and keep you on that. And hopefully we can check back in and hear good news.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, because I will tell you, Mitzi, that Cindy was attacked for a very long time, repeatedly, over and over and over again. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of that is because she stayed by me.
Oh.
I know it in my heart.
Oh. She's one of the bravest women I know.
Yes, she is.
She's a very strong lady.
Yes, she is. Go ahead.
Oh, and that's what Christians we do. We lay our lives down for each other, and we stand beside each other through the things that they go through.
Yes, we do. And you know, one day I will give a testimony about, because she's asked me once about, and I hadn't shared this with her, and that's when I knew that Jesus was truly coming through her. And she had asked me when I'm going to start telling people about the night that Jesus drove me home. And Jesus drove me home one night, and he kept me safe, and he kept me very safe, and he's kept me safe through the obstacles of this, and if it was just him and I, well, he knows how I am. He's known me since I was 20, 20 years old, and I'm 55 now, so he knows my core values. And I would have never known that he would have used the other friends he's made to come at me all at once versus one at a time. We can take on our obstacles through our faith one at a time. But when the world comes at you at once with things that aren't, we can say spiritual, we can say pleasant, we can say human, then it takes us down to one knee. And I just keep on saying, thank you, Jesus, for being my friend. Thank you for driving in the car with me. And thank you for not letting him conquer me yet.
That's awesome. I know as we surrender more and more to Jesus, it's like then he's got those angels going before us, and they're just clearing our path. And he allows us to go through these things. Unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, so we're going to go through these things, but they make us strong. And I've gone through a lot of warfare and a lot of hurt and pain, so I can totally relate. And it's just miserable when you're in the middle of it. Just miserable. And sometimes it feels
miserable.
It feels like, are you ever going to get a breath? You know, I just started reading Psalms 91 constantly.
Amen.
And I asked God to hide me under those wings, and I finally got to feel that. and then I started saying, just don't take me out, because it was so wonderful being hidden under his wings as we abide in his shelter. So, yeah, and yeah. I'll be happy to keep you on my prayer list for this.
I would greatly appreciate it, because when this first started, and then it was more than what a lot of people could handle, my friend in New Mexico that also has twin daughters, I'm telling you that we read Psalm 91 together for every night for 2 years, 2.5 years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I can be hidden for a while, and next thing you know, he's telling people how he's going to see me come, and I'll be dressed in pink. And I didn't wear pink when my children were growing up. And for me to not be able to work at a job in my chosen profession without having security walk me to and from my car is pretty devastating. It's keeping me from earning my bread. It's keeping me from my gift in healthcare. And it's keeping me from my friends and family. And it's keeping me from speaking the truth. And for me to be working at the airport in Kansas City and having the same stuff start happening all over again, yeah, he knows where I work. And he knew where I live. And I'm real tired of it. And I've tried to be real quiet. I've tried to be constrained on my wording of things. But when you live with the man who wrote a program on how to put a wiretap on a phone and save callers' addresses and callees' addresses in 1987, not 1999, not 2004, 1987, then we have a lot to wake up to. I've been awoke for a while. And I'm more forthright now than I have been in 4.5 years. But I am tired of being quiet. I'm tired of fear is false evidence appearing real. There's a time when you have to have discernment on danger. I've lived through it. I've had my friends, my family, and my children affected by it. You know, for him to tell one of my daughters, another daughter, I have twins, that if it looked like she was helping me, that she would be hurt, or if she told anybody, she would be hurt, puts them in bondage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and I cancel out the bondage. I cancel it out in the name of Jesus against my friends, against my family, against humanity, against women, against my children. I cancel it out with the blood.
That's right. And Father, I stand in complete agreement with Teresa, and we cancel out any assignments that have been placed against her life and her children's life. And God, we know that you have beautiful things for her to experience now and new doors to walk through. So it's also really good to focus on those things. And God, we just call that you, we ask now that you call those forward and that you show us those new things for Teresa to walk into. It's time for a season change and for this to be left behind and to be able to move into what you have for her. And we are just trusting you, God, that that is going to happen and that this heaviness and weariness is going to break off of her. And we thank you for that, God. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's a mighty revelation, isn't it, Mitzi, to just meet me, huh?
Yes, ma'am. I can't wait to hear your story, too, about when Jesus drove you home.
Oh, man. I'll tell you. It's been a walk. It's been a long, long walk. And a lot of time I stayed in fear and I stayed quiet. And you know, when the doctors say that your gastrointestinal tract looks like you've had a repeated chemical burn, like a third-degree burn,
mm-hmm.
What would cause that? Well, something on the outside force causes that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't Jesus trying to teach me a lesson.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
I know that.
Not. Yep. That's
and,
right.
And we know that was an outside force. And you know, It's been such an ordeal, as my one friend would put it. It is one nightmare after the other. I mean, imagine I'm going to some place to have my car serviced, and they put my legal name in there, and it shuts down the whole computer system. Imagine going to get my medical records, and I got a file, but they've all been deleted.
Yeah, that's,
time after
that's
time after
else.
Time, and isn't that something else?
That is. That would be a hard thing to go through. It's like your identity being stolen from you.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, thank you for listening.
Absolutely. And I look forward to
talking to you.
Thank
you for praying for me.
Again.
And I look forward to being on your prayer list, because I probably need to change the venue again. And I have to have
okay.
the funds to get there. Okay.
Okay.
Good luck
All
with
right.
your
Good
program.
Talking to you. Yes, ma'am.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, this is 812-256. Hello.
Hello, Mitzi.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes.
How you
hey,
doing tonight?
Hey, how are you? I know who this is. Oh, so how's it going?
It's going okay. I just wanted to call in I heard the lady before you there and all the things she was going through. And, you know, your heart goes out to people when they go through problems like that. And I just know that, you know, God is so faithful. And He is our source, and we go to Him whenever we are brokenhearted. And like you said, reading Psalms 91, that helps so much. We just have to have complete faith in God and know that He, like you were saying, we do have a relationship with Him, and that's what He wants. I've been through things in my life where I've had to, you know, just totally go to God and rely on Him, and He's faithful every time He comes through. And it may not be in the time span that I want it to be, but, you know, He does answer. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, God is so faithful, and that He does heal the brokenhearted. So
He absolutely does, and I know our time frame and God's are just two different things. But I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I was saying sometimes He really does answer you right away, and sometimes it seems so long. I mean, you go through a trial for years, and you just can't understand why He would allow that. And for me, it just ended up being, you know, God, you created us. You understand this whole thing way better than I ever could. So I'm just going to trust you that you know this is what's best for me and that you know it's what's best for me for all eternity. And that just gave me peace in my heart. So I just keep telling him when I'm going through something really bad, I'm just like, I know this is the best thing for me for forever, even though it doesn't feel like it. Yeah. And for some reason, that cheers me on. But
It does. And you know, I've been through things in my life where I've prayed for a long time and asked God to take, you know, you have a situation and you ask God to take it away and it doesn't seem to go away, it doesn't seem to go away, and you do all kinds of things that you think are things that God would want you to do, you know, to take it away. But then, I don't know, you know, I think like you were talking, you know, I think it's the relationship with God. It's like when you have a relationship with anybody, you know, you there's a point where God says, you know, I don't know, I don't know how to explain it really, but it's just you know, you pray and you ask him to help you. And, you know, there are things I think he wants you to go through in life so that he can make you the person that he wants you to be, the person that he wants you to be like Christ. He wants you to be like him, uh-huh. You know, so uh-huh. the glory that he has. And sometimes it's really hard and we don't understand the things we go through sometimes. But eventually things will start showing themselves so that you say, ah, now I understand why I go through this and why my heart was so broken and you know, why he had me to go through these things. And it's not because he's trying to punish us. It's not because he's trying to be mean to us, because he is a loving Father. He is a loving God, and he wants us to understand that. So, you know, it's just sometimes it's hard in the situation or in the season that you're in, but, you know, we just have to trust him, and sometimes that's hard. You know,
well, and
really
I like
hard.
What you said. That's like a number one thing for all of us is trusting God, I think. But I like what you were saying about he lets us go through things so that we can become into the image of Christ, because it just immediately brought to my mind the scripture of God's the master potter.
Right.
And we forget, we are his creation, and he didn't
right.
just create man and we had babies and just went on in a human life and he stopped creating. He's still creating us,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
he's still molding us, and he's still tending to us in his garden, he even says. So,
yeah,
I even forget about that at times, that he's so hands-on that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just want to call in and say, listen to your program, and it, you know, it's something that I didn't feel was going to really help, and you know, it's great.
Oh,
I think
that's awesome. Well, I have
the people, you know, everybody that's listening, and even me, helped me too. Some of the things you said earlier. So.
Well, I was going to say I've got a few minutes left and no other caller, so
mm-hmm.
we might as well just continue enjoying talking here.
Okay.
But so I want to ask you a question. Was the sound okay?
Yeah, sound was great.
Okay,
yeah.
good. Because I had trouble doing a sound check, and I couldn't tell. And awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I know a relationship with God is just the most interesting, fascinating thing that I've learned about. You know, I just, when I understood that with God it was about relationship, it took everything with me and God to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it started to make sense. I was like, you know, when you first learn about God, and he's so patient, so what we think should be happening quickly happens in the course of our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, forever I saw God as that judge on a chair, just saying good, bad, you know, hitting the gavel, and it was always like he was hitting good or bad, and it was like there wasn't anything in the middle forever. And then,
well,
you know, finally it was like,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I think a lot of people think that, you know. They think this God is a harsh God and he's a judgment, you know, he's all about judgment and all about, you know, beating people down and stuff. And I think a lot of times you hear that, but that's not the way God is at all. He loves us. He gave his son for us. He sent him here to die so that we could know him and that we could be redeemed and brought back into a right relationship with him. And in the course of that relationship, we learn to have a relationship with Jesus, but we also had to learn to have a relationship with the Father. So, you know, he's a loving Father. He cares about us. He wants us to be part of his family. He's, you know, it's like somebody that's adopted. You know, the person that's adopted, those people go out and pick that person. You know, we're not always picked in our families. We just are born in our families. But if you adopt somebody and put them into your family and take them in as your own, you know, that person, those two people chose this child, you know. And that's what God's doing. He's choosing us and bringing us back into a right relationship with him. And he loves us so much that he's going to give us a part of him. You know, he's giving us a part of himself, you know, through Christ. And I think that's so exciting. I just think that's special.
That
know?
Is exciting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
very special.
He handpicked each of us, and he is so aware of everything that we go through, everything. Mm-hmm. And I know for a long time for myself, I just, you know, when I only showed up for God when I needed him, when I was in so much trouble I couldn't take care of it myself. And I thought God was only there when he wanted to be. And then, you know, as my relationship with him has grown, I realized he never left me for a minute, not one minute
right.
of my entire life. He's had me
right.
surrounded.
Right.
And that just is mind-boggling for me. I was thinking about that a lot today.
Yeah, that's so true that you know, and you have to keep that in mind as you go through things. You know, you don't walk through them alone. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. And that's hard for us to sometimes understand because people leave us, people forsake us. You know, people say, you know, they don't want to have anything else to do with us. And we, you know, even as human beings, we can't understand that. But God never leaves us. Jesus never forsakes us, you know. So that's exciting. That's exciting in itself to know that, you know, you never have to walk by yourself because God is always
Absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am so glad you called. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
All right.
You have a good
have
night.
A good night.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So that was awesome. I got to have some callers, and we got to talk about what's on people's minds, what things are piercing our hearts, and what things bring us joy in our hearts. You know, what's God doing in our hearts that also show us awesome joy in his love for us. So I'm so thankful for the callers, and I'm just so thankful God showed up, and he takes care of us all the time. And until next time, I just want to say I love you all and thank you, and absolutely God loves you, and I will be back next Tuesday at 6 p.m.